good afternoon. You're following something.
You've got a hard act upon us.
Maybe we should just leave.
T. T. No, T, the letter T.
T.
T. Lewis, no period.
Okay.
T. Lewis.
Okay.
And Mike Fry.
Great. Got it.
I draw the strip in. Well, I wish I could have been flying the wall.
I couldn't say the two guys and the two blazers, so I had to make it right.
Well, I can take out my blazers.
I'm doing this all week.
Sorry, could you say again? I'm sorry, I missed that one.
I'm T. Lewis, I draw it.
And I'm Michael Fry, and I write it.
Okay, thank you. Well, speaking of the animation, the look of it, you writ the eyes on the turtle and Gary, you did a good job.
Well, we draw the comic strip. We didn't really, we're not animators.
Okay.
The comic, just to give you some quick background, the comic strip was created, and we created in about 95, well, it came out in 95. We worked on it for a few years before then. And then in 96, we got contacted by a guy named Jim Cox out here, who's a writer and now a producer, and he thought it would make a good. We ran our email address on the comic strip, and he saw it, and he said, "This would make a great movie." And so we were off and running. And but still, what we do mostly on a day-to-day basis is draw the comic strip. They had hundreds of people out here, you know, fashioning the movie.
Did you originally start the comic strip as social commentary, strictly entertainment?
I think our job is to entertain. Absolutely. I mean. Right. The main perspective of the comic is these animals' perspective on humans, seeing us through their eyes. And so they're going to comment on different aspects and stuff, cultural.
Yeah, and it's more about the tension. I mean, it's not so much a commentary in that we have this high ground, moral high ground that we're talking about human culture. It's more sort of about our own tensions and kind of hypocrisies. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I'm all for hypocrisy. It can, you know, it's great material for comedy.
You see the animals in the backyard, and you ask, what are they thinking? And what they're thinking is, how can I get in that house, and how can I get in that refrigerator or that pantry and chow down?
Mike, what was it like getting your first published work in Playboy?
That's me.
Mike.
Oh, sorry.
It was great. It was great. It's terrific. That was a long time ago.
Downhill from there.
It wasn't like kind of tricky, like bringing it home and showing it to the parents, like trying to hold certain things down. I'm on this page. Don't turn the page.
No, they were pretty excited about it. I can't get into that story, but where that thing came from was when I was in college, and it was about an experience there. It was very exciting. That gave me the idea that I could really do this.
How did you two meet?
In Houston, we had a common illustration rep, and we got to know each other through her. Her name was Ann Becker, and we hit it off. And Mike was doing some strips at the time, and he thought that maybe we could work together.
In like early 90s?
Yeah, it was like 94, 90, well, yeah. Right.
And where does your comic strip, I haven't seen it in Vancouver.
B.C. or Washington. Yes, it doesn't run in B.C., but, you know, we hope. We're certainly hoping.
Yeah.
It's in a couple hundred papers around the world and on the Internet, comics.com.
Yeah, Seattle's picked it up, so you ought to be able to see it in the Times sometime soon. It's in Portland.
Who are you syndicated through?
United Features.
Oh, okay.
I was going to ask, how involved have you been how have they made it at DreamWorks, your involvement with the film? And have you been able to watch it come together, you know, through the rough cuts, through
absolutely
what it is now? And have you offered any comments on it as it's been going?
You bet. We're creative consultants on the film, and that isn't just an empty title. They really were very solicitous to us and were interested in our comments and flew us down for screenings. And then we had, you know, long meetings afterwards where we, you know, give them our notes and talk about things.
Yeah, and we've read all the scripts, and T was involved in some early character design, and they hired me to do some punch-up near the end, and we've been very involved. It's been a wonderful experience.
So it hasn't been scary handing your baby over?
No.
Well, I think it's always, you know, in the very beginning, it's a little nerve-wracking, you know, what's it going to be like, but they from the beginning, they involved us and kept us involved. And
yeah, they were they always visibly, I mean, were in love with the project, you know, in love with what we'd done, and that was very cool. I mean, somebody, some famous or maybe it was William Faulkner, I can't remember, said that the best way to treat Hollywood is to go to the California border, throw your book over the border, take the money and run. And but that's not been the case here. And I my expectations were sort of built on that kind of experience. But
it's been wonderful. Had the bad experience with another comic strip that was made into a television series. And so I'm very familiar with that. You never saw it, thank God. It was called Committed. Ended up on the Wii Network.
Oh, it ran in Canada, though. Jeez.
It did. It was in Canada. That's true. It was a Canadian production. They weren't the ones that messed it up. It was.
Did Shandling and or Willis, any of the other people, bring anything to the characters in the film that you will now incorporate?
I think.
That's a good question.
I think part of this sort of journey is to sort of see what they're doing. You know, what they're going to do with it. And yeah, I think it's open for me as the writer, you know, some interesting ideas and stuff. And
but truth to tell, they I think they were so accurate in their depiction of, I mean, both with the characterizations that they did and the art, that it's like it's a pretty perfect parallel to what we do in the strip. I think they really nailed it with Shandling and with Willis. So it's not like we have to. It's not like so much that we're discovering so much through them. It's a really good matchup.
Yeah. Earlier, I asked Wanda and Bruce about a couple of observations that you make from this film. You know, the story deals a lot with greed, and then on the other side, it deals with compassion and sharing. Is that what you're about in terms of trying to convey those kinds of messages to larger audiences?
In the strip?
And in your comic strip that I have.
Strip. Right. Well, I think we comment on the human condition, and insofar as those things are essential, you know, to everyday, you know, everyday life, and to hypocrisy and the journey we're on. Yeah, I mean, they're certainly there. Is that sort of an ambiguous enough answer?
We've addressed those themes among the characters, you mm-hmm. know, and those are positive themes that mm-hmm. we want to emphasize, and we've done.
Why do you think you can speak to those things? What is it about your life? What is it about who you are? What you believe in?
Well, we're human beings and have to put up with it just like everybody else does on a daily basis. I think.
I don't think we see it as some sort of mission, you know, like, you know, we're, again, it's about entertaining.
No, I'm not saying it's sent from God to do it. What do you think about your life or that you, you know, who you are?
Well, I think we draw from our lives in terms of, you know, in the sorts of things that happen. Not, you know, it's not that direct, but we sort of establish who these characters are and place them in the situation and sort of see what happens.
Do you not kids a lot in terms of your ideas? Are you pretty much on the same page and have the same vision as the drawer and the writer? Do you guys ever...
Well, as far as, you know, honestly, the spirit of the strip, it is pretty eerie. Early on when we had the strip picked up by United Features, they said, you know, they've never really seen a strip written by partners that seem to be so organic as if it were written by one person.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't have that kind of perspective. I don't know what they were judging it on, but that was some comment there. Yeah. And so we've got a pretty unified vision of it.
We generally agree. I mean, there are certain themes and stuff we kind of argue about, but generally.
Do it in a certain order, like Elton and Bernie with their songs? Or
he writes it, and then I sing his lyrics. Right?
Can you remember any scenes in the script came straight out of the comic strip?
I can't remember. Honestly, this is a weird answer, but
it changes so much. Yeah. Early on, definitely there was stuff like that. And they certainly drew on similar things, like the SUV gag. That's we've certainly hilarious. Done that joke, mm-hmm. if not exactly the way they did it, but, you know, the same sort of thing.
How many of the characters in the movie are from the script? Or were there any new characters that were...
Yeah, a lot of new characters. There are three essential characters: R.J., Vern, and Hammy, who existed in the strip, and then everybody else was fresh. Although over the years we've probably had we've had Scott Possums and what have you, but we've never really developed the background characters like they did. We've never when you have those little postage stamp things to fill each day,
right.
It's just hard to squeeze into many characters. And we've had a lot to explore just with
it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure if R.J. was actually part of the original.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Absolutely. R.J. and Vern were the original,
and Hammy,
the core of the script.
Yeah, well, yeah, originally Hammy came in about 4 or 5 years later.
Can you talk about your process of how you work together, you know, and how much time do you put in to each comic? I mean, I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm. It depends. It's like, you know, maybe 4 to 8 hours of writing, you know, a week's worth of strips. And I, you know, send that off to T. And his process is more difficult.
Two or three days probably for me to draw it all up. And the way we do it is he lives in... It'll be kind of a blur.
Have
we touched on this yet?
He lives in Washington State.
Yeah.
So we do it over the internet, back and forth. So.
Where in Washington State?
OMAC. Do you, OMAC, Washington stuff. You know where Osuyus is? It's in B.C.
Yeah.
It's just south. It's about 40, 50 miles south of Osuyus, which is the border town for you guys.
What does T stand for?
Well, Thomas, but I'm Thomas Leslie Lewis III, and so I was the third Thomas in a line in my family, and it was just time for a change, you know.
Thomas, Thomas.
Thomas, right, yeah, usual Thomas.
So how long did you guys, I'm just curious, because you live in Austin and you live in Washington State, how long were you in the same place for a while, and then you decided
to begin? For 6 or 8 months we were, you know, when we started it. We knew each other a little before that, so, and then, you know, T moved off, and then later I moved to Austin, so.
In this movie, the turtle is the cautious, safe one, and then the raccoon is the adventurous one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is that, that's definitely from the strip.
Yeah, absolutely, that's the dynamic.
Does that mirror? I'm trying to get to the heart.
You mean, in other words, who's the ugly little turtle and who's the little raccoon?
Who's Lennon? Yeah. Who's McCartney? Yeah. Yeah. We've done this. We're both Lennon. That's right.
Yeah, I've got the round glasses.
Right. I think they're both. I mean, because, you know, it primarily starts with me. I have both those aspects. I know that sounds weird, but I think a lot of cartoonists who have multiple characters, they're generally, the Peanuts is the best example. Those are all part of Charles Schulz, all those different characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we all, I mean, all of us probably are maybe more Vern-like in reality, but we'd like to be RJs,
right,
when it comes down to,
right,
you know, Vern is who we probably are, and RJ is who we want to be, you know, in a way. Mm-hmm. But, you know. Yeah.
And it's a great dynamic between, because they sort of make a whole, the two of them.
Can you talk with Chris Willis and Gary Shandling?
No, we've never spoken to them about it.
We met them today.
Yeah, we met them today for the first time.
Really? Uh-huh. Wow. Were they what you thought they would be in personality?
You mean when they were cast or today?
What was your opinion about them when you met them?
Oh, they're very cool. They're definitely who they are.
We're thrilled with their performance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Shanley is Vern. And, I'm gonna have to hear about this one.
He may have taken Vern places we don't want to go. I have a feeling.
Yeah, well, the quote he shared to us was that he wanted, you know, to be able to say, "Look at my green dick."
Oh, great. Okay.
That's what he said. That's what he said about here.
Okay.
He said he thought like it should be a little pornographic with the animal.
Oh, I see.
Well, he wanted to give Ron an edge.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe we could work that into the strip.
Yeah. That would be the end of it.
Right, yeah.
People who work in the comics industry, who write and obviously, what other strips do you read? What other things do you find, you know...
Current strips or older stuff?
Well, current and older. I mean...
Okay. I think, you know, some of the classics, you know, Peanuts is great, and Calvin and Hobbes, Doonesbury, Bloom County. And the current stuff, Pearls Before Swine and Get Fuzzy.
Brevity.
Brevity's pretty good. And I don't know. You have some other...
I'm coming from the illustrator side. I really like the beautifully illustrated things, the classic strips, the Winter McKay stuff, Little Nemo, you know, Steve Canyon, Hal Foster's stuff with Prince Valiant. Crockett Johnson, this is pretty bizarre. Barnaby, I don't know if y'all have ever heard of that strip. It's an obscure, very poetic, cool strip.
Crazy Cat.
Yeah, Crazy Cat. Mm-hmm.
They used to have a whole page on Sunday.
Yeah,
the entire page.
Like one Sunday, like Little Nemo or
back when it was really a broad
sheet. Prince Valiant was a huge, you know, just it's a beautiful piece of illustration. But of course, those days are long gone.
Yeah. And how did you guys both get involved in this industry or in doing the work that you do?
I did editorial cartoons in college and had some success with different things and thought I could do it. And
and then he dragged me into it.
Right,
right.
Yeah. I've had four syndicated comics over the years.
As freelancers, it's some. I mean, many illustrators. We've been so blessed and lucky, honestly, because many illustrators dream of this because it's a steady gig. And for a freelance illustrator, there's nothing quite as appealing sounding. It's a steady gig where you can nonetheless still keep sort of freelancer hours and do your own thing. And so that was sort of the charm of it.
And getting a syndicated comic is terrific, but getting an incredible movie
is a miracle. It's felt like what winning the lottery must feel like. It's been one surreal, fascinating little trip through Oz after another. Honestly,
when you were watching the film, what was going through your mind as you were watching it?
I remember. I mean, last night it was fascinating and rich and beautiful. And it gives me chills, and it gets a little choked up when the whole thing starts. It's like, it's just amazing to think that we were, just talking over beer, about 12 years ago, and this is where it has come.
It's an out-of-body experience.
It is very bizarre and quite fine. I remember the first time we saw one of the rough cuts of it, and when I'd never, they blew us down. They've involved us a lot. They flew us down to see one of the rough screenings, which was largely just storyboards, very little, maybe a few seconds of animation, actually. Then it was just storyboards, kind of shot crudely, just to get a feeling for the pacing of the movie. But at the very beginning of the movie, they did have their DreamWorks Animation logo come up. The lights went down, that thing came up, and suddenly it was real. And, that was almost more of an epiphany moment than...
It's taken 10 years, it's a miracle any movie gets made.
At all, right.
It's some kind of, I don't know what to call it, if it's any good. And this is... just amazing.
It really is.
Do you guys have kids, and how are they bouncing off the walls?
I got to see it with my youngest daughter last night. She loved it, and my older daughter's coming in on Sunday for the premiere. It's her prom on Saturday.
Oh, great.
So she's going to get to see it too. They love it. Mm-hmm. They love it.
Yeah, my son, I have a 14-year-old boy, and he's going nuts. I took him just as a sheer indulgence. I took him and my wife to London to see the music being recorded at the the live orchestra, because it was time to really involve them in the thing, because it's been this weird thing that I go off to L.A. and come back with all these cool stories about, but they've sacrificed an awful lot.
They put up with an awful lot. Oh yeah, right. Yeah, that's gonna happen. Right. Yeah.
And so I wanted to involve them in it, and so I've immersed them a little bit in the last few months as we're leading up to this, and he's loved it.
Can you say a little bit about your reactions to Steve Carell's Hammy? I mean,
elation,
imagine.
No, it was.
What's Hammy like in the comic strip?
He's goofy. He's pretty goofy and off the wall, but just in his voice characterization, he adds so much to any line he reads. It's
an
unexpected
performance.
Yeah, he surprises. It's
extraordinary. Mm-hmm.
It was totally extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. We have time for one more question.
He's satisfied.
No,
you're still a little stunned from the previous interview.
Yeah.
That's
right.
You had to be there.
Were any of you fans of Ben Folds 5?
I was a fan. And it's funny, I used to listen to Rock in the Suburbs and say, if they weren't quite so profane, that would make a great tune for an over-the-edge movie, But never really, it was not through me or Mike that he was hired, but it was a perfect match, I thought.
Yeah, I was unfamiliar, but I'm now a big fan.
Because, Ben Folds did that William Shatner album.
Right. Yeah, I downloaded it just the other day.
What'd you think of it?
I love it. Oh, it's cool. Yeah, it's wonderful. And, Shatner's got a wonderful sense of humor about himself. And, we ought to mention, he did a wonderful job with Ozzy, too.
Oh,
and just, he's willing to kind of put fun at himself, mm-hmm. and that's very special, I think.
I don't want to put you on the spot about Jim Carrey versus Bruce Willis or anything, but I know... What was your feeling then when you heard that Jim Carrey was attached and was unattached? Mm-hmm. Was it sort of like up and then down and then Bruce Willis?
And then up, we were thrilled and then thrilled again. Totally different takes on the character.
Right.
Although we didn't have not even heard Carrey's take on the character.
We never did.
At that point, it was so early on. But we can. Now it's kind of hard to imagine anybody else in the role.
Yeah. Congratulations. It's really great.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for you guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Here's a good afternoon.
All right. Yeah. Man, I'm going to have to talk to somebody about that.